And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning on this Thursday morning. We hope you are having a fantastic day out there. And joining us on the line right now is the Chief of Police for the City of Independence. We have Jerry Harrison on the line. And Chief, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, Kyle. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and we hope you are having a good day. And our topic this month, we're talking about arrest and booking. I know some people always have a lot of questions about this. And one of the questions that people usually have is they don't understand why, officers don't make an arrest when they have a person in custody. And there are several reasons for that, is there not?
There are quite a few reasons. Sometimes it comes down to the officer's discretion, the history with the subject. But in Kansas, we have a state law that limits when we can arrest people on misdemeanor charges, Kyle. So sometimes it's just not the officer's choice, and quite frequently it's not. And most of the time, a general rule of thumb is if the crime doesn't happen in the officer's presence, if we don't witness it ourselves, and it's a misdemeanor crime, we usually cannot make that arrest.
And like I said, it's got to happen, in the presence of an officer. However, there are some narrow exceptions to a few of these things, correct?
There are. And just to be clear, when I say we can't make the arrest, that doesn't mean we can't detain somebody long enough to identify them, interview them, get what we need from them, and then issue them a citation and give them a court date. But it just means we can't physically put them in handcuffs and take them down to the jail and hold them for a bond and go through all that. But yeah, back to your narrow exceptions, if you've got a warrant out for, like a misdemeanor warrant, that's been approved by a judge. They've looked the case over, and they said there's probable cause for that case, so we're able to arrest there. Somebody that runs from the police, if you run, whether it's on foot, in a car, do something to hide or avoid us, we can make that arrest. If you try to destroy evidence, or if you're a danger to yourselves or others, if you're damaging, if we're worried that if we can articulate or describe that we have a valid concern, you're going to tear somebody's property up or you're going to cause harm to somebody, we can also make the arrest then. And, of course, any of your what we call person's crimes in the state of Kansas, but what a lot of folks probably would know as a violent crime, we can arrest on violent misdemeanors. So if you get in a fight with somebody, we can make that arrest as well.
So there you go. That's just a few of the things that the narrow exceptions. And there are also some laws called shall arrest examples. And what do those include?
Yeah, so there are some specific crimes in the state law that says you shall arrest. So we don't have a choice in those scenarios. We have to make that arrest to comply with the law. So driving under the influence. So if someone's under the influence of alcohol or drugs and we stop them for that, we are required by law to make that arrest. If it's a domestic violence situation and we have probable cause to believe that someone has battered someone under the state statutes, then we have to make that arrest. And of course, if someone tries to run from us or hide from us or lie to us about their name or something of that nature, then that's also a shall arrest.
And also felony violations are kind of, they're handled generally also through the arrest process as well. Now, the one thing I was talking about off the air, and just kind of give people an idea of what how this works. Sometimes people complain about how, you guys don't lock them up and keep them locked up, but you can't just hold somebody forever, especially on a misdemeanor. Just kind of go through that process, like on a misdemeanor and also a felony, how the bond process works.
Oh, yeah. So just to be clear, we kind of glossed over it real quick, but what you and I are focusing on in the conversation here is misdemeanors. And your comment on the felonies, you're right. The felony deal is a totally different situation. We're going to almost always arrest somebody on a felony charge. They're almost always going to have to post a bond. So that's a different discussion altogether. Today, we're just talking about the low-level stuff that's going through city court usually. But yeah, you're right. People get upset. They think we need to throw them in jail and teach them a lesson. But the fact of the matter is, we don't necessarily have that authority, as we just discussed. And on those times when we do have the authority to make an arrest, police officers, we don't set that bond. The bond is set by the court. And it gets a little more complicated because there was a time in Kansas when some police agencies, they would arrest people on a city charge, and they would hold them for 48 hours in lieu of bond, and if the person didn't bond out in that 48 hours, then they would release them. Well, then the activists got involved, the civil rights attorneys came along, and they brought a lawsuit successfully against the law enforcement agency in the state, because what they said was, you know, essentially, you're discriminating against people that can't afford to post a bond, because you're going to release them in 2 days anyway, so basically you're just holding them in jail longer than you would somebody that had the money to and could afford a bond. So that process, for the most part, it's pretty exceptional to get a bond on a city charge.
And for those who may not be, you know, very who do not know about you know, the bond issue very much. So basically, what is the main purpose of a bond?
Yeah, I appreciate you keeping me focused on task there, Kyle. So a bond is merely a guarantee for you to show up in court. So if someone gets arrested or gets and they get brought into the jail, they, you know, we can't hold them for forever, of course. You know, they are entitled to their day in court. And so the Constitution says you've got to give these people an opportunity to bond out. And so what happens is the person appears before the judge looks at the case, the judge says, this is the police have probable cause to bring this case, so we're going to, if you want to get out of jail, then you need to post a bond for, you know, let's say $500, and that $500 is put up to guarantee that you show up for court. So if you post that bond and you don't show up on your court date, well, then the court keeps the $500, and it does not go towards the fine or anything like that. If you show up, then the money goes back to you. And if you want to use it to pay your fine, you can. If you don't, then you just take your $500 and just work the case out with the court. But essentially, a bond is just you put your money at risk, and the court keeps it if you don't show up.
So it's always best to show up, because you'll get your money back for the most part. And two, you're showing that, hey, you know, I'm here, I'm trustworthy. So it's always in the best interest to show up for that hearing instead of not showing up. And then all of a sudden, at that point, if you don't show up, do you not usually have an arrest warrant put out for you, or at least a warrant put out for you for failure to appear?
Typically, that's what would happen. You get an arrest warrant, fail to appear from the judge. We'd pick you up on that. And so that would be a good example of, and that can even happen on just a citation. You know, if you got pulled over for speeding and you didn't show up on your court date, you didn't pay the fine, either way, well, then a warrant could be issued for your arrest. And then we go back to the first part of our conversation where we talk about you can be arrested on a misdemeanor charge if there's a warrant out for that charge. That'd be an example of how that could happen.
So always best to show up for when you have that. Now, the other thing is that some people don't know, that you guys do not have the authority to set the time that somebody is jail. Prosecutors and courts control jail time, correct? The police have nothing to do with that. The police enforce the laws of their jurisdiction, but they do not control jail time and how much a bond is, correct?
Oh yeah, you're right on. We don't set that bond. That is that's in the U.S. Constitution, that bonds are set by the judge upon a hearing of probable cause that we have we've proven to the level of at least this there was a crime committed and this person probably committed it. Now, of course, the burden of proof for a conviction is much higher than that, but that just gets you into court. The bond set by the judge, and also, the sentencing is set by the court. So it goes a little deeper than that, though, because, we can basically, when we make an arrest, we are suggesting to the prosecutor, whether it be municipal or state level, we're suggesting to the prosecutor that, hey, this is the case we have on this person, and we recommend these charges. But ultimately, we don't have the authority to determine who gets cited into court. If the prosecutor doesn't agree to file on that case, then that case is dismissed. It goes away. So ultimately, the prosecutor determines what cases go to court and get charged. And then once the trial begins, of course, that finding of guilt or innocence is done by the jury or by the judge, depending on the person, who the defendant selects, whether they want a jury trial or a bench trial. But at any rate, so that finding of guilt or innocence doesn't come from the police, it comes from the court. And then the final issue, if people are frustrated, somebody gets arrested, they get picked up, they get out of jail, then they go to court, and then they get a slap on the wrist in court, as people say, not my words. Well, we don't have control over that either. That punishment for whatever the crime is, that's imposed by a judge. That's not up to us. We just present the case. The prosecutor can accept our case as it sits and take it to court, and the judge can hear the trial and then, hear the arguments at trial, and then the judge makes a decision on whether there's guilt or innocence, and then whether or not whatever that punishment is set at, whether it's a fine or jail time or what have you.
Well, Chief, I appreciate you coming on today. Of course, we talk to you once a month, the second Thursday of each month, and I really do appreciate you spending some time with us this morning talking about the arrest and booking that maybe some people don't quite know about, the kind of the finer points of it. And we appreciate you spending some time with us today, and we look forward to talking to you again next month.
Hey, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate it. And if anybody has any suggestions on what they want to learn about in these interviews, they can email me. And my email's on our city website. Just go to the police department's page on the City of Independence website. Shoot me an email. If you got a good topic, I'll send Matt some, Kyle some suggestions on what we can talk about.
Absolutely. You send it to Matt as well. So either way, it'll get back to me at some point. So, well, again, sir, thank you so much for joining us today. I always enjoy talking to you, and you have a fantastic day.
Hey, same to you, Kyle. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you very much. That is the Chief of Police for the City of Independence. That is Jerry Harrison. He joins us once a month to talk about, several different things in law enforcement. We do need to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour.